Welcome to Better Animal Handling, episode 227. From the center of Missouri, USA, I'm C.B. Chastain, your guide to better animal handling, and Ginger, my cattle dog and law-abiding co-host. Say hi, Ginger. Our goals are to improve your knowledge of why domestic animals from Chihuahuas to Clydesdales act as they do and how to better handle them safely and humanely. Today's episode is on legal considerations of animal handling. Our topics for this week are waivers of responsibility to protect others from injury by animals. Animals considered inherently dangerous and consequences of animal abuse. Most states have laws that require animal handlers to execute adequate control over animals to prevent them from harming themselves, other animals, people, or property. More serious charges may be filed against a handler who knowingly failed to exercise adequate control over an animal. There's always a degree of risk in handling animals. A handler must assume the responsibility for the safety of the animal and that of the people who may become injured by the animal being handled. If all safety precautions are taken and cautions are given to others, an injury to people or the animal may be attributed to inherent danger and an assumption of personal responsibility. For example, many states have passed horse activity liability waiver legislation with wording similar to warning. Under state law, equine professional is not liable for an injury to or the death of a participant in equine activities resulting from the inherent risks of equine activities pursuant to the state statutes. Signs of this warning are required to be posted on the premises where horse handling will occur. Liability waivers may help in winning a case for a defendant, but they do not prevent lawsuits or the cost of defense. Waivers of responsibility also do not absolve handlers of liability in injury or death that is due to their negligence or incompetence. Incompetence is simply not having the knowledge or the ability to control an animal. Failing to properly contain or control an animal that causes injury to a human is negligence. Knowing that an animal is potentially dangerous and not taking extra efforts to protect others is also considered negligence. Responsibility for injury from an animal does not have to be direct. Injury received in an attempt to flee from the animal demonstrating threatening behavior can be owner or agent negligence. It's prudent to have adequate liability insurance that covers the activities of animal handlers. In some cases of animal handling that may involve people other than the primary handler, releases or hold harmless agreements are advisable, and legal counsel should be consulted. But it's important to ascertain that any assistant animal handler is mature enough, strong enough, and trained sufficiently for each task to be performed. The assistant should also be adequately supervised during animal handling. Some animals are considered inherently dangerous, including lions, tigers, cougars, bears, monkeys, venomous snakes, and large constricting snakes over 8 feet in length. Inherently dangerous animals should only be handled by specially trained and experienced personnel. Animals which are considered rabies reservoirs, such as bats, skunks, coyotes, foxes, and raccoons, should not be handled except when absolutely necessary and only by professionals trained to handle wildlife. Currently, 5 states in the United States, Alabama, Nevada, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Wisconsin, have laws prohibiting the keeping of dangerous wild animals as pets. 21 ban all dangerous exotic pets. Other states restrict only selected exotics. If physical restraint results in unnecessary pain and suffering to an animal, the handler can be in violation of state animal cruelty and humane laws. In more than 30 states, at least one form of animal cruelty constitutes a felony. If the handler is a veterinary medical professional, there's a risk of malpractice charges that could lead to discriminatory action under the State Veterinary Practice Act. Domestic animals have traditionally been viewed legally as property. Still, there are laws to protect the inhumane care of animals. This is not only to protect animal well-being, it also has benefits to human society. Willful abuse of animals is known to be associated with concurrent or eventual abuse of humans. The most stringent restrictions on the handling of animals involve those used in federally funded research. The NIH Office of Laboratory Animal Welfare oversees all federally funded research institutions using laboratory animals. Primarily due to articles in Sports Illustrated and Life magazines about the abuse of dogs in research, the Laboratory Animal Welfare Act of 1966 was passed by Congress, regulating the use of dogs, cats, hamsters, guinea pigs, rabbits, and non-human primates used in research. It was assigned to be enforced by the USDA. In 1970, it was amended to the Animal Welfare Act and broadened to include any warm-blooded animal used in research, exhibition, or wholesale animal trade. Horses, livestock, birds, mice, and rats not used for research were excluded in 1972. Reptiles were never covered by the Animal Welfare Act. In 1985, the Improved Standards for Laboratory Animals Act required the NIH to minimize the number of animals used in research and their pain and suffering. Institutions with federally funded research must have an Animal Care and Use Committee who monitor the care and use of research animals. ACUCs must be composed of at least one veterinarian, one non-scientist, and one person not affiliated with the institution. A veterinarian must be employed by the institution to oversee the care and use of the institution's research animals and be an advisor to the ACUC. The Association of Assessment and Accreditation of Laboratory Animal Care International, referred to as ALAC, requires a higher standard of care than the NIH, but membership is voluntary. ALAC has standards that include the provisions to provide social and other mental enrichments for animals, and all social animals are expected to be housed in pairs or groups. Objects should be provided that create complexity in the animal's environment to create decision-making and other mental stimulation. Normal behaviors such as grooming, exploration, foraging, and burrowing are to be encouraged and monitored. Abnormal behaviors, they include self-mutilation, stereotypic behaviors such as pacing and bar biting, or aggression, should be monitored and corrected when possible. The Federal Bureau of Investigation reclassified crimes against animals in 2016 as a Group A offense and included cases in the FBI's National Incident-Based Reporting System. The motivation for the reclassification was the findings of studies which revealed a link between animal abuse and domestic violence, child abuse, and other violent crimes toward people. If you have comments or are interested in particular animal handling subjects, contact us at cbc@betteranimalhandling.com. Now, let's recap the key points to remember from today's episode. Waivers of responsibility do not protect against failure of responsibility to control an animal due to incompetence or negligence. Handlers of animals can be held responsible for injuries sustained when someone is injured in attempting to avoid the animal. More than 30 states in the United States consider at least one form of animal cruelty a felony. Ginger says it's time to wrap up this episode. More information on animal handling can be found in my books, Animal Handling and Physical Restraint, Concise Textbook of Small Animal Handling, and Concise Textbook of Large Animal Handling, all published by CRC Press and available on Amazon and from many other fine book supply sources. Additional information is provided at betteranimalhandling.com. This website has more than 200 past podcasts with notes on handling of dogs, cats, other small mammals, birds, reptiles, horses, cattle, small ruminants, swine, and poultry. Don't forget, serious injury or death can result from handling and restraining some animals. Safe and effective handling and restraint requires experience and continual practice. The acquisition of the needed skills should be under the supervision of an experienced animal handler. Thanks for listening. Ginger and I hope you'll come back next week when I'll talk about rabbits as pets. Hey, Ginger, you like to check out roadkill on our walks along country roads? Can you tell a dead lawyer from a dead skunk in the road? There are skid marks in front of skunks.